English Listening Comprehension Test Spring 2006 Basic Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through.
It's a pleasure to welcome Jennifer Cox this morning. Jennifer has just published her new book, sure to be an absolute bestseller, Around the World in 80 Dates. Jennifer, I understand you're a travel journalist.
Yes, I am. I've been writing for travel magazines for 10 years, all the while waiting for the perfect man, never finding him. So I decided to arrange blind dates all around the world, with 80 men, but not on 80 days like in the classic book. So I contacted friends. Friends of friends, friends of friends of friends, and arranged 80 dates all around the world. The critical point came right after date number 55. He was my soulmate, the right one. After the date, I threw myself onto my hotel bed, staring up at the ceiling for inspiration. What should I do? I still had 25 dates and several countries to go. I reached out to my friends on the internet. Half said I should go right on. Half said I should cancel the last 25 dates. So I had to decide for myself. I checked out and went to meet Gary, Mr. Right. I'd met Gary, number 55, at a festival deep in the Nevada desert. Now I took a few days off to spend some time in his hometown of Seattle. The second day there, he even took me to see his parents. Just beforehand, he gave me a long, slow kiss and said, "My parents are going to love you as much as I do, Jennifer Cox." He just told me he loved me. And no, he didn't mind me going on the other dates, or think I was a freak for going through with my plan. I must have been glowing with some sort of cheerful energy. Suddenly, total strangers seemed to be smiling, holding doors open and generally being lovely. My future dates responded well. It seemed they wanted to meet me to learn the mysterious secrets of how to find your soulmate. In Tokyo, I met Rob, a Brit living there. He invited me for a sushi breakfast at a local fish market at the unearthly hour of 5:15 a.m. What is it, I found myself wondering, that makes men think raw fish is romantic? The next stop was Beijing, where a handsome Australian called Paul had arranged an even more unlikely date at a Chinese foot massage studio. Oddly enough, I was delighted. I like foot massage, and it didn't involve fish. Then it happened. Date 76. Only four more dates to go. It was in New Zealand. I had a date with a kind-looking pilot named Jean. We took off in an old plane. Everything was breathtakingly beautiful, but the noise of the engines was horrendous. When we came down, we went to a winery for wine tasting, a gourmet lunch and serenading by Maori singers. Everything was so hectic. We hadn't had a chance to exchange a word. The next morning, while waiting for my flight out, there was Jean, also waiting for a plane. But then it was time for my plane to leave. Jean kissed me on the cheek. Just as I got on the plane, my mobile phone beeped. A message from Seattle, from Gary. He was missing me. I realized I was really, really missing him. I messaged him, "We're meant to be together. See you tomorrow." The answer came back in seconds. Yes.
Now listen to the same story in five sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
It's a pleasure to welcome Jennifer Cox this morning. Jennifer has just published her new book, sure to be an absolute bestseller, Around the World in 80 Dates. Jennifer, I understand you're a travel journalist.
Yes, I am. I've been writing for travel magazines for 10 years, all the while waiting for the perfect man, never finding him. So I decided to arrange blind dates all around the world, with 80 men, but not on 80 days like in the classic book. So I contacted friends, friends of friends, friends of friends of friends, and arranged 80 dates all around the world.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
The critical point came right after date number 55. He was my soulmate, the right one. After the date, I threw myself onto my hotel bed, staring up at the ceiling for inspiration. What should I do? I still had 25 dates and several countries to go. I reached out to my friends on the internet. Half said I should go right on. Half said I should cancel the last 25 dates. So I had to decide for myself. I checked out and went to meet Gary, Mr. Wright.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
I'd met Gary, number 55, at a festival deep in the Nevada desert. Now I took a few days off to spend some time in his hometown of Seattle. The second day there, he even took me to see his parents. Just beforehand, he gave me a long, slow kiss and said, "My parents are going to love you as much as I do, Jennifer Cox." He just told me he loved me. And no, he didn't mind me going on the other dates, or think I was a freak for going through with my plan. I must have been glowing with some sort of cheerful energy. Suddenly, total strangers seemed to be smiling, holding doors open and generally being lovely.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
My future dates responded well. It seemed they wanted to meet me to learn the mysterious secrets of how to find your soulmate. In Tokyo, I met Rob, a Brit living there. He invited me for a sushi breakfast at a local fish market at the unearthly hour of 5:15 a.m. What is it, I found myself wondering, that makes men think raw fish is romantic? The next stop was Beijing, where a handsome Australian called Paul had arranged an even more unlikely date at a Chinese foot massage studio. Oddly enough, I was delighted. I like foot massage, and it didn't involve fish.
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
Then it happened. Date 76. Only 4 more dates to go. It was in New Zealand. I had a date with a kind-looking pilot named Jean. We took off in an old plane. Everything was breathtakingly beautiful, but the noise of the engines was horrendous. When we came down, we went to a winery for wine tasting, a gourmet lunch and serenading by Maori singers. Everything was so hectic. We hadn't had a chance to exchange a word. The next morning, while waiting for my flight out, there was Jean, also waiting for a plane. But then it was time for my plane to leave. Jean kissed me on the cheek. Just as I got on the plane, my mobile phone beeped. A message from Seattle, from Gary. He was missing me. I realized I was really, really missing him. I messaged him. We're meant to be together. See you tomorrow. The answer came back in seconds. Yes.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. Each one involves a different situation with different speakers. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 11.
There was a woman from Chicago.
Yes?
There was a woman from Chicago who bought a jacket from a secondhand store for $5 and found $1,000 in the pocket.
Well, now that should happen more often. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, but she took the money back, said it wasn't right to keep it. And they found the original owner of the jacket, who was happy to get her cash back.
I should think so.
Answer question 11. Look at question 12.
Did you read in the paper yesterday about the golden retriever?
No, what happened?
Well, a woman had her handbag stolen and began shouting for help. The golden retriever's owner saw what happened and sent the golden retriever after the robber. The robber dropped the bag when he felt the dog getting too close. Then the dog guarded the handbag until the lady came to get it.
Well, that's a heroic dog. And living up to his name as a retriever.
I'll say.
Answer question 12, then look at question 13.
Jane, did you hear what the Italian policeman did?
No, George, but I bet you're going to tell me about it.
Well, an Italian police officer was arrested after driving almost 20 miles the wrong way down a busy highway.
Why did he do that? Was he chasing criminals?
No, he had been drinking, said his girlfriend had left him. You know the kind of story.
Answer question 13. Look at question 14.
I was down in Ealing last week.
And what were you doing there?
Well, I heard a good story there. A delivery man had just received a safe driving award. His boss gave him a £100 gift and held a fine speech. The boss said he was proud the man had a 12-year safe driving record. Then, 2 hours later, the same delivery man crashed his van.
How ironic. It just shows you, doesn't it?
The delivery man said he'd never live it down.
Answer question 14, then look at question 15.
That was really a mess over in Jacksonville the other day.
I'll say, a house burnt down, actually exploded. Something about the gas pipes exploding.
Yeah, and it was right next to a fire station.
And the firefighters couldn't get out of their own station to put out the blaze. All their doors were blocked by pieces of the house that had blown up.
So they had to call the firefighters from the next town. And the house finished burning down while they were coming. What a wild story.
Answer question 15. Look at question 16.
I heard something odd on the BBC last night.
Oh, what?
The president of Turkmenistan wants a palace built in the middle of his desert country.
Unfortunately, that sounds quite normal.
No, it has to be made of ice. In a place where the average temperature is over 30 degrees centigrade. Can you imagine?
Ice in the middle of a desert? What else does he want? For the army to make it snow?
Yes, he wants snow too, so the children can learn to ski.
Answer question 16, then look at question 17.
Did you see the news on TV last night?
No. Anything special?
Well, a man robbed a bank. His ex-wife saw him leaving the bank in his car. When she went inside, they told her they'd just been robbed. She told them it was probably her ex-husband, even told the police where to find him, living with his mother. The police arrested the ex-husband within the hour.
At his mother's?
Yeah, where else? What an idiot!
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Did you hear about the German man who won the lottery?
A lottery winner?
Yes, he was arrested. He used up his winnings living a luxury lifestyle. Then he decided he had to keep on living the same way, so he committed dozens of burglaries to finance his expensive lifestyle. He was stealing jewellery from people's homes.
And how did the police catch him?
Well, one home had a camera surveillance system. He confessed everything.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
John, have you heard about the couple from Maryland who are raising a Cabbage Patch doll?
Huh? You're kidding.
No, it was on TV last night. A couple are raising a Cabbage Patch doll as their only son. They've been doing this for 19 years now. They do have an adult daughter, a real person named Vicky, but they prefer the doll to their own child.
Are they insane?
The man even talks for the doll, taking on a child's voice to answer the questions of the reporter. The man takes the doll fishing, says it's the doll's favorite hobby.
The doll's hobby? That's too much.
Answer question 19. Look at question 20.
There's a new postcard service.
A new what?
Postcard service. The service collects personally written cards from people and then mails them from exotic locations. Places like Los Angeles or Hawaii or Hong Kong.
Really?
Yes. It's only £8 a card and you can impress your friends.
Even if you've never been to those places.
That's the whole idea.
Answer question 20. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Today, I'm pleased to announce that we have Sally Galloway here to speak to us about the problems being created by the way children are currently raised. Nowadays, parents are both so overly careful and so very demanding. Sally.
You're looking at a cyclist in the park. He's so smart under his metallic blue helmet, riding along the dirt path at 3 miles per hour. Cats walk faster. He's 8 years old and on a tricycle. Or maybe it's today's playground, an all-rubber cushioned surface where kids used to skin their knees. And wait a minute. Everything's covered with rubber. And those aren't only little kids playing on that soft surface. Their mommies and daddies are in there with them. Hey, does this sound like someone's little brother or sister? Or maybe it's the 10-year-old girl who has an extensive, expensively written report about her learning skills. The teacher reads through the 30-page paper. Everything seems normal. Actually, the teacher, Mr. Gordon, finds her to be above average. But the paper says she has difficulty with gestalt thinking. Doesn't that mean, in plain, ordinary words, she has trouble seeing the big picture? But all 10-year-olds have trouble with that. Why does she already have such a report in her educational file? Oh, yes. When she gets ready to take her university entrance tests, she'll be allowed extra time to finish the examinations. Aren't her parents clever? What happens to these children? This kind of parenting makes them very, very anxious. They are afraid of any sort of risk, and they're robbed of a sense of identity, of meaning, of accomplishment. They don't have any chance at real happiness, real accomplishment. Take grades, for example. Primary schools are places for grade inflation. Everyone gets the best grade. Every child is told, both by parents and teachers, "You are the smartest child ever." American parents expect their children to be perfect. and if they aren't, the parents will get doctors to prove that they are perfect, the best. Children's play is all but dead. Kids are having trouble playing neighborhood games on their own. They've never done it. The game sports many kids participate in are managed by adults. Difficulties that come up are worked out by adults, not by the kids themselves. They've been told where to stand on the field, what to do, what color socks to wear. Children aren't gaining any benefits out of the play. They aren't learning how to control themselves, how to interact with others, how to deal with problems with other children. It's just lost. While rates of depression rise after people are 40, the fastest increase is now among children. Younger and younger children are depressed. About 1 in 5 babies is born, shall we say, nervous. At school, these children will be shy and withdrawn, cautious and quiet. It would seem these children would all grow up to be nervous wrecks. But two highly significant things stand in their way. None of these so-called nervous babies will grow up to be overly anxious if their parents would back off, give them chances to try things on their own. Overparenting is clearly dangerous. Children are being made weaker, not stronger, by overcautious parents.
Now listen to the same discussion in 5 sections. Look at questions 21 and 22.
Today, I'm pleased to announce that we have Sally Galloway here to speak to us about the problems being created by the way children are currently raised. Nowadays, parents are both so overly careful and so very demanding. Sally.
You're looking at a cyclist in the park. He's so smart under his metallic blue helmet, riding along the dirt path at 3 miles per hour. Cats walk faster! He's 8 years old and on a tricycle. Or maybe it's today's playground, an all-rubber cushioned surface where kids used to skin their knees. And wait a minute, everything's covered with rubber. And those aren't only little kids playing on that soft surface. Their mommies and daddies are in there with them.
Answer questions 21 and 22, then look at questions 23 and 24.
Hey, does this sound like someone's little brother or sister? Or maybe it's the 10-year-old girl who has an extensive, expensively written report about her learning skills. The teacher reads through the 30-page paper. Everything seems normal. Actually, the teacher, Mr. Gordon, finds her to be above average. But the paper says she has difficulty with gestalt thinking. Doesn't that mean, in plain, ordinary words, she has trouble seeing the big picture? But all 10-year-olds have trouble with that. Why does she already have such a report in her educational file? Oh, yes. When she gets ready to take her university entrance tests, she'll be allowed extra time to finish the examinations. Aren't her parents clever?
Answer questions 23 and 24. Look at questions 25 and 26.
What happens to these children? This kind of parenting makes them very, very anxious. They are afraid of any sort of risk, and they're robbed of a sense of identity, of meaning, of accomplishment. They don't have any chance at real happiness, real accomplishment. Take grades, for example. Primary schools are places for grade inflation. Everyone gets the best grade. Every child is told, both by parents and teachers, you are the smartest child ever. American parents expect their children to be perfect, and if they aren't, the parents will get doctors to prove that they are perfect, the best.
Answer questions 25 and 26, then look at questions 27 and 28.
Children's play is all but dead. Kids are having trouble playing neighborhood games on their own. They've never done it. The game sports many kids participate in are managed by adults. Difficulties that come up are worked out by adults, not by the kids themselves. They've been told where to stand on the field, what to do, what color socks to wear. Children aren't gaining any benefits out of the play. They aren't learning how to control themselves, how to interact with others, how to deal with problems with other children. It's just lost.
Answer questions 27 and 28. Look at questions 29 and 30.
While rates of depression rise after people are 40, the fastest increase is now among children. Younger and younger children are depressed. About 1 in 5 babies is born, shall we say, nervous. At school, these children will be shy and withdrawn, cautious and quiet. It would seem these children would all grow up to be nervous wrecks. But two highly significant things stand in their way. None of these so-called nervous babies will grow up to be overly anxious if their parents would back off, give them chances to try things on their own. Overparenting is clearly dangerous. Children are being made weaker, not stronger, by overcautious parents.
Answer questions 29 and 30. This is the fourth part of the test. There are 5 sections. Each section is a separate story. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
The local government of Treviso, Italy, is tired of paying 100,000 euros a year to mow the grass on the side of its highways. So it decided to save money. It bought 6 donkeys for 2,000 euros. Just think of the savings. 6 donkeys for 2,000 euros. They'll eat the grass only in fenced areas, so there's no danger to cars. And they don't cause any pollution.
Now listen to this again and then answer question A.
The local government of Treviso, Italy, is tired of paying 100,000 euros a year to mow the grass on the side of its highways. So it decided to save money. It bought 6 donkeys for 2,000 euros. Just think of the savings. 6 donkeys for 2,000 euros. They'll eat the grass only in fenced areas, so there's no danger to cars. And they don't cause any pollution.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
The town of Kiruna in northern Sweden has been invaded by thousands of rats. Mats Lahti, the Kiruna environmental chief, told reporters that the rats, brown rats, came from Norway with garbage shipments for the local recycling center. The recycling plant handles 25,000 tons of Norwegian waste a year. Kiruna doesn't want to get used to the strangers.
Now listen to this again and then answer question B.
The town of Kiruna in northern Sweden has been invaded by thousands of rats. Mats Lahti, the Kiruna environmental chief, told reporters that the rats, brown rats, came from Norway with garbage shipments for the local recycling center. The recycling plant handles 25,000 tons of Norwegian waste a year. Kiruna doesn't want to get used to the strangers.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
A Turkish petrol attendant thought his mobile phone had been stolen. He figured a customer had taken it while he was filling the tank with petrol. Angry, he phoned his own number. He couldn't believe his ears when his dog's stomach started ringing. His Nokia came out the natural way the next day.
Now listen to this again and then answer question C.
A Turkish petrol attendant thought his mobile phone had been stolen. He figured a customer had taken it while he was filling the tank with petrol. Angry, he phoned his own number. He couldn't believe his ears when his dog's stomach started ringing. His Nokia came out the natural way the next day.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
A 22-year-old Japanese man was awakened from a nap by a mosquito. He sprayed something to get rid of the mosquito. Actually, he sprayed a whole can of bug spray. Then he lit up a cigarette. Sparks from his lighter caused an explosion and set his parents' house on fire. The house burned down. Police reported that they believe the mosquito died in the fire.
Now listen to this again and then answer question D.
A 22-year-old Japanese man was awakened from a nap by a mosquito. He sprayed something to get rid of the mosquito. Actually, he sprayed a whole can of bug spray. Then he lit up a cigarette. Sparks from his lighter caused an explosion and set his parents' house on fire. The house burned down. Police reported that they believe the mosquito died in the fire.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
A German man stole a bike from beside the Wuppertal police station, and then a few minutes later he tried to sell it. He approached two men, showed them the bike, and offered to sell it for £50. Now, the two men, who were actually undercover police officers, noticed that he had big metal cutters under his jacket. The stupid man still had his burglary tools under his jacket. And, of course, they arrested him, and he admitted what he'd done.
Now, listen to this again and then answer question E.
A German man stole a bike from beside the Wuppertal police station, and then a few minutes later he tried to sell it. He approached two men, showed them the bike, and offered to sell it for £50. Now, the two men, who were actually undercover police officers, noticed that he had big metal cutters under his jacket. The stupid man still had his burglary tools under his jacket. And, of course, they arrested him, and he admitted what he'd done.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. Also, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.